podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Remember that legacy summer? Do you remember that legacy summer? Welcome to Carnage. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a massive, massive smile on my face because we didn't mash up the introduction.
That's because I'm here.
And that's because the boss is here. It's amazing.
Me, Chris and Mo boxed it between us. You just ignored you two.
It's amazing how everything's so clockwork, isn't it? Like, we mashed up this intro for like literally 3-4 weeks in a row, and I was so happy to see Gavin.
It's three buttons.
Listen,
I just realized now, when I went to do it, I said to myself, there must be loads of buttons. And then I realized it's three. It's one to get you on screen, one to start an intro, and one to get us all on screen. It actually does it automatically.
Have you had it written down? Ask Mo last week. Was it Mo last week? Was it Mo when I said to him, like literally before the show, I said, write it down. Did you listen to Gav's instructions? And he said, absolutely. I knew exactly what. But anyway, listen, sorry we're a little bit late, people in the chat. I see a fair number of you still waiting, already waiting, I should say. Thank you very much. Give the stream a like on your way in. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed, all that good stuff. Before we crack into the show, I must talk about our new sponsor. I've got a sponsor on board, and it's Elite Me. And they do CBD oil. And when you hear this, you think, oh, does this stuff work? But this, guys, is the most amazing stuff. I've tried it myself. Elite Me CBD, a UK-based company that supplies the highest quality CBD in the market with a variety of products. Go and check out this stuff. Trying it, and then you see it, and then you feel it, and then you believe it. That's the best way. You know, for high quality CBD supplements, go and visit their website, www.elitemi.com. How you spell Elite Me is ElitemiI. Go and check them out, guys. They're going to be our partners, sponsors for this up and coming season.
I just want to come in on this. Sorry to interrupt. I know I've already started, but Mrs. Grizz sent me a video of this as soon as he took two drops. Was it on Thursday or Friday? And she goes, Abby. She goes, this stuff works, doesn't it? I said, of course it does. I said, what's wrong? She goes, I want to send you something. So she sent me a video of him snoring, and I'm going to play it on my speaker. I'm literally going to play it on my speaker.
He doesn't need fucking CBD to snore.
Oh, he does. He has trouble sleeping. You know him, Gav. He's up all hours.
But I do.
So this is a video of him snoring. Absolutely knocked out.
We get done for copyright here now.
That is Grizz snoring.
So listen, right? This is not even a joke. Now listen, you know how you know how Liverpool transfer windows make you anxious, right? They make you nervous, they make you anxious. I haven't slept right for ages and ages. I'm not even joking. I took this stuff, two drops. First of all, it's quite technical. Like, all right, Gav's going to laugh, right?
What? Taking two drops is technical? Is this a fucking one?
This is where you went wrong with
you. You asked him to press three buttons.
No, I'm serious. It's two drops is technical, and you're asking him to press
three buttons. Okay, you guys can laugh. All right, you guys laugh.
We will,
right? Because it's funny to you guys, right? But it's not funny to me.
I've never seen a diagram on how to take two drops of CBD oil.
I'll tell you what the problem is, Gav. It's two drops under the tongue.
Yeah, as opposed to one.
No, but you're not supposed to squeeze it. So you're supposed to just put it under your tongue
and
just know when the things dropped on your...
You see, you're counting. You're counting to two.
I couldn't feel the...
Well, you don't want to give yourself an overdose.
And this is not a go at Elite Me, because I don't... Like, fair play to them, right? How they've let you loose on this is beyond me. I'm going to be honest.
I'm the best person to be...
But basically, why didn't you just say, I took this... It was really good. I was like, it really helped me to sleep, right? You've basically gone into the technicalities of literally lifting your tongue in your mouth and counting the fucking two. Stop. That's all. That's the only advice I give you.
I've stopped. All I'm saying, it's amazing.
I think it's the best thing for all of us.
It's the best thing for all of you. I'm not even joking. But listen, welcome aboard, Elite Me. Welcome aboard this panel I've requested, and I am absolutely humbled to be part of such a panel tonight. Welcome aboard, Mo, who's an absolute part of the furniture. How you doing, my man? How's things for you?
I'm all right. Thankfully, I don't need CBD specifically to fall asleep, so I'm okay. Although I really feel like you're going to have to be starring in their new adverts now, or maybe just the sound. The snoring might do the job itself. But
it's a good start.
I'm good. You know, I mean, obviously, we were chatting just before about international football. I happened to glaze my eye over that. But, you know, it's not really important, is it? Just kind of keeping the ticker going about football itself.
Yeah, it's we were talking about some unsavory stuff as well that took place. We need to. Every platform should highlight that kind of rubbish and hope and pray and force the authorities to take far more action than they do. You know, it seems to be just a token gesture of a fine here and a fine there. And
is this racism in Hungary?
Absolutely.
I haven't seen anything. So I'm just
look at that. Yeah. And you knew in it. Okay. As soon as it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrible. And, I just don't know what we can do. All we can do is keep highlighting it, I guess, and keep forcing on people to sort of do something about it. But yeah, it's a horrible. Also want to welcome Chris. Chris, how you doing, my man? Really appreciate you coming down, bro.
No problem, mate.
I was looking forward to it, because I know you're upstairs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little scared by your snoring, to be honest. So I'm not gonna tell you I'm gonna be okay for the next hour. I will be having nightmares about that. And for every fella out there that's thinking that sounds absolutely brilliant, there's a woman thinking, "Don't give my husband that shit," because I don't want them sleeping next to me if that's what happens to them. Now I'm guessing your demographic is largely male, so you're probably okay there. So Elite Me will obviously be a great sponsor for that. Obviously, I haven't seen any of the stuff Mo mentioned, what was going on with England before. But look, it's the same, isn't it, as like LGBT plus and stuff like that. And what Klopp and Paul Amman were talking about a few weeks ago about making everybody feel comfortable going to the football. And that's what we've got to strive towards. Whether it be stamping racism out, whether we be stamping homophobia out and all that type of stuff as well. This is what we've got to strive to achieve. And the only way that I can see that you can do that, and I don't have answers here, is through education and understanding. Because there's a difference between knowledge and understanding for me. And I say this all the time when I'm talking about football, you might know it, but understanding it is completely different. And I feel like the only way that you can actually get through to somebody is empathy, and you need to make them empathize. So you need to keep speaking out, especially if it's happened to you. And I'm a white middle class male. I don't understand it in the same way as obviously Mo and Carl and Grizz and everybody else. But it disgusts me and it sickens me that people are being treated like that at this time. And look, I'm sorry, I've just brought the tone right down from, or up maybe from where it was.
Yeah, I started it. Don't worry, this is on me.
But it's massively important. It's massively important. So you need to keep speaking out. You need to keep telling people what it makes you feel like. And hopefully at some point they'll realize that everybody's the fucking same. We all breathe fucking air. And that, like, you know what? I can get through to you because you'll empathize with me at some point, because there is always common ground between people everywhere in the world. And football's massive for common ground, and it's a great place to start. So why not here?
I couldn't have put it any better, mate. You've said exactly all of our thoughts. You shared all of our thoughts, and it's true. I was going to say it is what it is. That's just such a defeatist attitude. But the more people that talk about it, learn about it, teach about it, the better, in my opinion. And as you said, it's all about education. You're right. Absolutely. You're spot on. Mr. Cal, we were all talking off air, and thank you for waking us up with that T-shirt, because we were falling asleep waiting for you. But you made up for it by coming in with Is that the Jamaican?
Jamaica played tonight.
Did you win?
No, I played Mexico tonight, early hours of the morning. Okay. I usually wouldn't watch it, but my little one decides to wake up around that time, so I thought I might as well throw on a T-shirt and enjoy it fully tonight. So.
Why not? Is that a qualifier or is it just a friendly?
Qualifier.
For the World Cup, yeah.
Okay. Good luck with that. Avi, what's happening, mate? How are we doing? How's California? You was telling us it's freezing over there, a freezing 21. 22.
Yeah, I've got a sweatshirt on today, a bit warmer, so it's all good. But it seems as if you've assembled the Avengers here. Like, you know, you've got Captain America and me, and then you've got the rest of the characters over there. You've got Gav. Gav's, I can't even describe who Gav would be, but yeah.
I'd be careful if I was you.
You're dubbing yourself Captain America.
Yeah, of course, yes.
But just to count, the USA are playing as well today against Salvador in the World Cup qualifier, so we're looking forward to that later on.
It's amazing how he always gets to mention or somehow USA football team or football, USA football in every single stream. It's amazing. Some cynics would say you're looking for a sponsor from there or something. But we won't go into it. And of course, we've got the main man himself, Gav Doyle. Listen, you probably had enough of the messing up the intros. Thanks, Gav, for helping out.
It was my favorite intro of the season so far. And I thought I'd never be topped until you tried to explain how to take CBD oil, which will go to me grave. I'll take it to me grave with me, I'm being honest.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm gonna send you a video how actually what I'm
don't.
No, I will. I am. No, I am.
Don't.
Because then you're gonna need CBD oil to sleep. After you've seen that video.
Well, because like, you know, we've plenty of friends that can manipulate that video to wherever way we want, and we could have really good form. So absolutely send me the video. Portrait and landscape, please.
Okay. But listen, the topic, there goes my microphone. Chris did say, and talk about my microphone, there you go. But listen, guys, the transfer window is officially shut in the UK. I know it's open in a couple of countries in the world. I just thought I'd gather a few people and let's talk about it. Look, quick disclaimer before we start. So many people online, and all you've read this week is sort of this aggressive nature of Liverpool fans, where people are almost cornering you into sort of being into camps. So you're either an FSG out, an FSG in, you're a top red or you're a bottom red. It's mental. I just want to put a disclaimer out there that we absolutely are here to just give our opinions and have a friendly chat and give our views and opinions on the situation and what we think. We're not in a camp. We're not in a subsection. We're not paid. Well, hold on, let me check. No, none of us are paid by FSG, as far as I know. And just check. And so we've got no what's the word? We've got no allegiance to sort of anyone. We're just fans like you guys and everyone else that just are blessed to have a platform, and we're humbled by that. And we're just here to give our opinions on it. So before stupid people, try to clip things up, because you know that's what happens. Behave yourselves. We're here just to have a nice friendly chat on what happened, what was our expectations, and how we feel about things. And Mo, I want to start with you. Just a very simple question, Mo. Transfer window opens. What was your expectations? What happened, and how do you feel at the end of the window?
Well, first of all, I agree that I'm not in any faction, but if I was, I would be a power red, definitely. I think my expectations when the window opened were good, mainly because we'd already heard the Konate rumours by that point. So I was thinking, if we can get that biggest hurdle cleared that early, then that will set us up to be able to do some more deals later on. I was concerned about the ability of us to sell some of the players that we wanted to sell, because that is the problem that everyone is having. And that kind of proved to be the case. Some of them took longer and we ended up getting less for them. But, I mean, I am disappointed that we didn't see any more players coming in. I think one attacking player more, I could have signed off on that quite easily. But it's dangerous when you talk about this because, like you say, you have to make sure you put it in the context of we are thinking about the potential worst-case scenarios here. We are trying to think about absolutely every single possible with all Doctor Strange in the shit out of this. And when we think about, oh, well, maybe we're one light, we're thinking about in that worst-case scenario. That's not necessarily going to be the case. There is a world, there's quite a few worlds in where we do have enough and it is okay. And there are enough quality players to do the job. But obviously, coming off the back of a season we've just come off the back of, those worst case scenarios are right at the front in our mind because that's basically what that season came in. So you kind of feel like you don't want to overreact to things. But you can't really ignore the nagging feeling of we might get to January and think, yeah, we should have got one more.
Mm. We've got a super chat from Ramiz Khalil, which nice segue into what you just said at the end there. What do you make of the Origi to Fenerbahce rumors? Does that lead us to getting a striker in January or not necessarily? I think I'll just quickly dismiss this one. We haven't got a clue, mate. but I really appreciate the super chat. No, but it's true, Chris. We not only us fans, but sort of all the learned journals, all the closely related journals to Liverpool, all the reliable, the usual mouths, were expecting all the articles. Kind of, there was a Melissa Reddy article, I remember, that indicated that, you know, a midfielder and an attacker did seem to be sort of on the shopping list, so to speak. Is that what you had expected at the start of the window? And yeah, the start, how did you feel?
Yeah, at the start of the window, well, it was all the stuff that I'd read, you know, your Neil Joneses, your James Pearce, your Simon Hughes, Mel Reddy, you know, and I don't want to miss people out here, all the other really good Liverpool journalists. All that stuff I saw was expect a quiet window. Like, you know, you might, and Liverpool are interested in this and interested in that. But, yeah, I think, look, I wanted two players. I wanted a midfielder and I wanted the striker. I didn't get them. Now, just the way life is, isn't it? You know what I mean? You could sit there on Twitter all day refreshing your feed and doing what you need to do, and I'd respect that. If you've got a strong opinion, then go out there and say what you feel needs to be said in any walk of life, in anything, whether it's footy or not. Don't hail abuse of people for having a different opinion. You know, I'm quite happy to sit and have a debate with somebody and open my ears and listen and hear what the other person is saying. But I'll be quite honest with you, I haven't heard anything from people who want FSG out apart from the things that I also disagree with, you know, the European Super League, £77 ticket prices, everything else, trademark Liverpool, all that type of stuff. When I haven't looked at anything business-wise on the football field and thought, yeah, they got that wrong. Like, look, they probably should have signed somebody. Like, I really believe that. But I'm strong enough to make my own mind up on things. And people hailing abuse and shouting FSG out isn't going to change my mind on it. It's not an argument. It's not even a debate. It's not a conversation. It's a catch-all thing that covers about 400 different things nowadays. It just seems to me like a really easy, lazy way of it. And I'm a supporter. I go to the game. I want to enjoy the footy. I get enjoyment from the footy. The football, not the transfer window. Or I actually hate discussing transfers. When I was in my 20s, I knew every player in every league. I've got a family, I've got two kids. I don't watch any of the other leagues anymore. I just don't. So it doesn't make any fucking difference to me whether you're interested in Sal Niguez or I'm interested in Florian Niehaus, because I don't know who they are anymore. Like, I genuinely don't care. Like, I just want Liverpool to be really good at the football, and that's my week. That 90 minutes where Liverpool play, or 180 minutes where Liverpool play, is what I get huge sums of enjoyment from. Not who's won the transfer window. I just don't buy it. Like, it's just not for me. It's just like, I like footy. I like watching footy. I've been playing footy tonight. I like kicking a ball around. I like watching lads kick a ball around. That's me enjoyment from it. You know what I mean? It's mad. I can't believe why people get so wound up about not signing players. We've not signed loads of players. They've turned out to be shit.
Yeah. Just a quick super chat again before we continue. Big thank you, the Mole, for the message he sent to my wee man, Daryl. He loved it and had him in tears. For kid with autism means the world. You're top man. Thank you. Is that...
Well, go on, Mole. Yeah, that was me. I found out through the Anfa rap that John's little son, Daryl, was a fan of mine, and it was his birthday on Saturday. So I sent him a little message. I hope he enjoyed the game. I'm really glad that he got the message. So, yeah, big ups, nice John. One. We'll make it up to Scotland at some point to come and see you guys.
Nice one. That's excellent. Cal, same question to you. How you feel? Mo and Chris have given their feelings on how they feel or how they felt. And obviously, slight differences of opinion. I think we're going to have a slight difference of opinion here as well, which is brilliant. Go for it. What's your opinion on the whole situation and how you felt?
I felt disappointed, but I was also surprised, because I actually did think, even up until maybe the day of the window shutting, I actually did think we would go out and get another two players. So I actually was surprised. I know a lot of people said, I'm not surprised FSG didn't do this or the club didn't do this. I actually was surprised. I thought it was glaringly obvious we needed at least two more players, and I thought the club would have addressed it. Now, in terms of the whole debate with the in and out, again, I've been quite vocal in where I stand with it, but I think there are different tiers to the whole FSG in and FSG out. And I'll say this for both sides. I think you've got some people in the FSG in and the FSG out who are very, for lack of a better term, very pompous and very arrogant and don't want to listen to the other side. I'd like to think I don't fall into that category. I'm hoping I don't anyway.
We'll be the judge of that.
Well, Cal, me and you had a great discussion on the show about 2 months ago, mate.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a different opinion to you, and I was hosting the show, and it was a brilliant discussion. Mm. It was a great conversation where you see what someone's got to say, you know, and you listen to it, and it didn't change my mind, and I'm sure I didn't change your mind, and that's absolutely cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Precisely. And that is my thing. And, like, I'll be honest, over the last few days, I've sent out some tweets and asked people who are on the other side of what I believe or what I think to actually justify and let me know why, so I can get more of an insight. And I'll be honest with you, even though I don't agree with those who like sort of back and support the owners, I can see where they're coming from to an extent in some things that they say. And some things that they say, I actually have to sit back and say, well, you know, I was wrong on that. And I have to agree on that. But on the overall situation, for me, it's not just about this window. It's about safeguarding Liverpool's future. And what really concerns me about this window is that we've seen before that we didn't strengthen the season. We won the Champions League, and yes, we did go on to win the league, which was obviously phenomenal. But I don't know if we can always use that as a barometer to judge every single summer when we don't sign a player and say, well, we didn't sign a player, so we'll be okay again. What concerns me more about this window is we know that every summer is going to get more and more difficult to acquire players and to get players to replace the players who are aging in the team. Now, I'm not one of these people who sit there and say, once you hit 30, then your life's done as a footballer, because for me, that's nonsense, especially with how medicine, science, nutrition, and how they are as athletes nowadays. However, I do think we have lost out on an opportunity here to really go in and do something that can safeguard us a little bit in the future and make it less difficult for us in summers coming up. And what annoys me the most is when someone like myself makes an argument saying, I think we should have done more, the first thing I get back is, oh, well, we're never going to sign Mbappe or Haaland. Look, I wanted those players. I knew we were never going to get those players. I would have been very, very happy with Konate, Bissouma, and let's say Pedro Neto if he was fit. I don't think that's asking for the world. And I think that's my frustration. I think most Liverpool fans are very realistic in our expectations. But for whatever reason, it just didn't seem to sync up this summer. And I'm praying to God it doesn't come back to bite us in the arse.
Can I ask you, do you mind if I just jump in? There's a couple of things that I agree with you on there, Cal. And there's a couple of things that I don't, right? safeguarding the future was a term that you used there. We've signed five lads to new contracts, and I get that you maybe don't agree with that, and there's probably the biggest and the best player still hasn't. But investment comes in many forms, doesn't it? You know, it's investing in youth, it's investing in Kirby, it's investing in the stadium twice. You know, it's investing in players, the current ones, as well as hopefully new players. You know, there's loads of stuff there. And, you know, for me, I'll want to ask a question to everybody, because Coutinho and Suarez and Mascherano and Xabi Alonso, they all went before the prime. And we were whinged about being a club that let players go before the prime. And now we've just signed up a load of lads who are in the prime, and we're whinging about players being signed on a contract in the prime. How much more can you do? This is a club that's clearly progressed, where the best players in the world still want to play at Liverpool Football Club. And I know they're boring because we've seen them for 4 years, but they're still brilliant.
I think it's the timing, if I'm going to be honest, Chris. It seems as though it's a deliberate ploy by the club to release these contracts, or the news of the contract renewals, at a time where a lot of fans are hoping and expecting new transfers. And I fully agree with you. Look, there has been investment, and investment comes in many different forms. But I think the investment this summer was desperately needed in some of the incoming players. But also, when it comes to contract renewals can be done any time. And I could also turn it around and say it's quite negligent that we had all these players having to renew in one summer, as opposed to staggering them as well. So again, I get where you're coming from. Look, I'm over the moon. If we had lost the Van Dijk this summer or anything, this would really be carnage, because you'd see me ripping down my backdrop and going absolutely crazy right now. And I'm happy we have signed those players up. But at the same time, I don't think the two have to be exclusive from each other. I don't think you have to either do contract renewals or make player acquisitions. I think you can do both.
I agree with that. Sorry.
Yes, no, Gav, I think you wanted to jump in there.
When you announce contract renewals, for me, it's irrelevant. You never know. The club could have been looking, going, listen, just give them some sort of good news. They react well to this because we're not signing anybody. They could have said that. We don't know. You know what? I've done five shows in a row, I think, every day this week, about, and everything has been FSG. And I said it to Grizz earlier, I'm so tired of talking about them. And that's no reflection on having to walk, because this is where I walk at. But I've had to think about this, and I've actually come to the conclusion that, in a footballing sense, I follow Liverpool in the football. I'm a bit like Chris. I follow Liverpool in the football sense. You know, the players we have are brilliant. I love watching them. I love going to watch them. I watch a lot on TV. I go to Anfield and watch them. And they excite you, and they have done for the last couple of years, you know, specifically this squad the last 3-4 years. And from a footballing sense, I felt we needed two more players on top of Konaté, right? Because I looked and I've gone over it loads and loads of times about the reliability of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby. And that's not me being knee-jerk. It's that, you know, the proof is there over the last two seasons anyway, with both of those players. And people will say, but you have seven midfielders. And I go, yeah, one's 36, all right? One's 18, come back off loan from Blackburn, okay? But you can't throw everything at him. He's brilliant, but you cannot throw everything at him. The same with Curtis Jones. Curtis Jones got bashed a little bit for me last season as a 20-year-old. I think he was 20 last season. In what shouldn't have been his breakout season, it should have been a season where he progressed and then looked this season to actually go and really nail down a spot on the team. And he didn't. He was relied upon because of the injuries we have. We have, and I hate to say it, we have a club captain who's shown injury tendencies over the last year to 18 months, in my opinion. Okay, so that's why I needed some in the midfield. Up top, it's fairly obvious for me. I don't think you trust Minamino. I don't think you trust Divock Origi. And Minamino, I feel a bit sorry for. Origi, I don't. That's just me. People can argue, okay? But then I look at it and I say to myself, okay, I think we need to. No, I'm not going to piss and moan about it and cry about it if we don't get it. I'll be watching them against Leeds next weekend, and the transfer window will be the last thing on my mind. But then I look around and I say to myself, okay, I got really upset in January over the centre-back situation. And, you know, I got thrown, it did get thrown at me, look, COVID and stuff like that, and I completely get that. And then I see things like 180 million losses possibly over the last two seasons when they post it because of COVID and everything. And that hurts their model more than any other model simply because we spend what we earn. And it's not a surprise to anybody. They turned up and this is what they've done from day one, right? They have a magnificent squad that they spent a lot of money on. And people would say net spend, bullshit. Net spend doesn't matter. It's not anyone's fault if you can put a squad together like that and manage to be really good at selling stuff. You know, do you know what I mean? And really good at selling stuff. So I've no issue there. And then, so I try take the footballing sense. I try take the negatives of not getting it. And what have they not done enough? I think they haven't done enough over the last year or two with regards to recruitment. I think they recruited really well last summer and everyone bounced into last season. Let's be honest. Everyone bounced into last season. Thiago, Tsimikas, Jota, on top of what we had. We thought we were taking over the world at the start of last season and injuries killed us. And then I look at what they've done recruitment-wise and kind of, yeah, I know where people are coming from. But I try not to be too extreme, Grizz. You know, I don't have FSG in banners hanging out my front window, all right? But I'm also not setting fire to it out the back garden either. I try look at it as a football fan because that's what I am. Now, when it comes down to it, there will be reasons for what's happened. I think the amount of outgoings that we've done and the one player we've signed, there may be reasons behind that. But I agree with Callum. And when I look and I think we need two more, I do look into next season and I get where Chris is coming from. We signed really, really, really good players to really, really, really good contracts. We're no longer a stepping stone, we're a destination. And that's what we wanted to be when Coutinho, when Suarez, Mascherano, Alonso, whoever else it might be, left the club. But I see a difficulty in next summer. Because if we all think we need two now, how many do we think we need next summer? When you have another year on Milner, when you have, you know, what happens with Ox and Keita this season if they don't, if they're injured? Yep, you're looking to replace them. I get where that worry comes from as well. So I think we're in a tough situation, but I have a feeling there was some very, very tough decisions made. And that's just me thinking about it over the last couple of days and trying to think of it from FSG in, FSG out, and me sitting watching the football.
Well, sorry, I was just going to say off the back of that, I think we have to remember as well that there are FSG are the ones who have the bottom line. There's no denying that. But they are going to be influenced by the desires of the manager and Michael Edwards himself. I think there's been scope. I don't know, but there's been scope for us to say that they had a plan at one point in the window and that plan has changed. I think if you listen to Klopp and listen to not just what he's saying, but the consistency of the message that he's putting out about this pathway, that says to me it's highly feasible that Klopp and some of the others went into this summer thinking we need to buy a midfielder, but has seen the impact of the guys in training, particularly Harvey Elliott, maybe Curtis as well, and said, you know what, I want to give this guy a chance to develop, because if I do and I'm right, then we could be saving ourselves a lot of money in the future. Now, obviously, this is a risk. We all know this is a risk. But it could be also augmented by, for example, we could try and buy Yves Bissouma this summer and that wouldn't happen. That gap would be filled. Harvey Elliott wouldn't get his minutes. Or we can give Harvey Elliott this time and maybe look at trying to buy Jude Bellingham the next year. So I wouldn't be surprised. Again, this is all from my feelings. This is not anything from any idea of knowledge. That you could do it that way. You can have what you call fluid models. That doesn't help us now, and it leaves us short, and that is the risk involved. But I don't feel like this would have been a risk that FSG dictated down to Klopp. I feel like this would have been a decision they came to together. And because of that, I give them a little bit more leeway to say, okay, this is your decision. We know that it could backfire, but I'm not going to tell you you're wrong until we see it play out.
I actually agree with a lot of what you said there. And I wanted to come on to that aspect, which is the Klopp and the Edwards, the effect or their say they have in all this. I wanted to come on to that. I just wanted you to sort of read this super chat, and answer it. Yeah, take this one, please.
Yeah, thanks to Tahir Qureshi. This season, we have seen so many games. These players will be mentally and physically drained. It's a fact there will be injuries again with no backups. And just coming on to this as well, I think, first of all, everyone makes great points. Me and Cal have had WhatsApp debates on voice notes.
He keeps on threatening me, by the way, Gav.
But, don't worry. But all jokes aside, like, we've had great debates. And obviously everyone knows, most know that I've always been FSG. And look, there have been, I would say it's a frustration. It's a frustrating window this summer. It has been a frustrating window. When you think about, you think Konate should have been done in January, but obviously it wasn't. And it was done early in March, April time. Then you're wondering, okay, who's next? Like, I think everyone makes great points. We needed to win. I think we can all see that. That's glaringly obvious. We needed to win. But I feel that it was on the whole, it will be FSG. The people that say FSG out, it's a bit excessive. We've got to remember what they do, but people don't want to remember the things that they do off the pitch. And I'm just going to track away a little bit. We talk about Kirby, state-of-the-art facilities. A delegation that went out to Dortmund, to Salzburg, to Leipzig to see what they've done in their facilities. But fans don't want to know about that. Fans don't care about, I'm sorry, but the sort of new sort of age of Twitterati fans, they don't want to know about the stadium expansion. They don't want to know about the main stand, that the work that's gone in there and the millions that have been spent there. They only care about the football team. They only care about what's being brought in terms of players. And we get in this commotion that, oh, United have spent on Sancho. They've gone and spent on Varane. They've gone and spent on Ronaldo. What are we doing? We're just sitting tight. But I'm sorry, but you talk to United fans, they still will say they're a number six short. They're a midfielder short. You talk to Chelsea fans, they will say they're a centre-back short. You talk to Arsenal have spent £130 million.
They're genuinely my favorite football club in the world right now.
Spurs have spent money. We should have spent money. And the big worry I have here, and this is where I get frustrated with the whole infrastructure, and that includes the committee, FSG, and Jürgen Klopp. This was an important summer because next summer, and I hate using next summer now, but next summer becomes Klopp's penultimate window. Because in 2023, you've got the committee and then you've got FSG who are thinking about succession planning. They've got to get a manager in place. I don't want to be like Manchester United, where I don't think Moyes was ever Fergie's first choice, no matter how much he sells that story that he was cut from the same cloth. I think they had bigger targets than Moyes. Whereas Liverpool, we've got to be careful because when next season comes, if they don't spend next summer, then I don't see us spending big in 2023 because then you're sort of making room for the new manager. We talk about contracts, and Chris, you made a great point. Look, players in the past, Torres, we've always let them go in their peak, Suarez, Mascherano, and so forth. But I look at Fergie when he left Manchester United, and I've got a list here. Evra, Rio, Vidic, Giggs, Scholes, Van Persie, Carrick, Fletcher. They were all between 30 to 39 years old. Scholes retired. Giggs literally took a coaching job. Roll on 2024. We've got players like Hendo, Van Dijk, who are going to be 34. Fabinho, Thiago, 33, 31, respectively. Then you've got Salah, Mane, Bobby, who will be 32, 30, 33. Robertson, 30, but he's got a great engine on him. My biggest worry is when a new manager comes in, he won't keep all those players. And to ease him out, when you've got big personalities like a Henderson, like a Van Dijk, it's going to be extremely difficult to ease him out. We saw it with Brendan Rodgers. I don't think Brendan Rodgers ever wanted... He ushered Gerrard out. I think that's no given secret. He didn't want Gerrard at the club. But sometimes when a new manager comes in, whoever that may be, whether it's Steven Gerrard, and you presume that it has to be a big personality to handle these players in their 30s and 34s, and then you've got to see who's out there who's going to take them. Who's going to take a Mane at 32, 33 with the wages that he's on? It creates a complex situation. I'm not saying that we should have sold them. We should, of course, give them new contracts. But like Callum said, these contracts should have been issued. This should have been addressed maybe a summer before or a year before or a couple of years before, because they're going to all come at once at 2024 when the new manager comes and he says, these players aren't my vision for the next phase.
Yeah, but that's hold on. But it's not only the club that decide when a contract is done. And most agents, if you get a five-year deal, right, you'll probably see after 2 years an agent pushing for an extension to make it five again. Right. But when it gets down to 3 years, an agent's looking going, look, like Salah, Mane, in my prime here. Right. You love playing for Liverpool. You know, the fans adore you. But I'm going to be honest, there could be double your money around the corner if we leave this and let it run to 2 years, because it strengthens a player's position, and that's what an agent is there for. I know what you're saying. They're all going to land in 2024, 2025, now some 2026, depending on who they are. But it's the player has as much saying when a contract negotiation starts and signed as a club does. The club don't just turn around and go, oh, you've 3 years left, come on in and sign the contract. It's not how it works. And a player will always move to his most powerful position, which is usually 2 years to go or 2 years in. That's
before
what
you go,
do.
Mo. Before you go, Mo, I think Chris wanted to jump in before you. So go on.
No, it's fine, Mo. You go first, Mo. It's fine.
What I'm going to say is dead short anyway. What I would say, I don't think that these kind of extensions are all done in such a short space of time without COVID. I think they're done over the last 18 months. And also because of COVID, I don't think that this is plan A. For what they do, where we are now in terms of these contract extensions being the only business we're doing, I still don't think that's where they wanted to be. That's the optimum. That's where they are now. So while I agree that it's not ideal, I agree that them all ending or them all getting old together, so to speak, is not ideal either. But I don't think that means that they are thinking it is. I think they are still trying to avoid that scenario. So we will see things over the next, hopefully, 6 to 12 months that you can see a succession plan for some of them. Because sometimes, as we've seen with so much difficulty selling players, sometimes you have to protect that value for a longer time if you think it's going to take you longer than normal to sell them.
Yeah,
I think all I was going to say was, almost exactly the same at the start of that, to be honest with you, is like, you're not extending contracts for the players who are close to the best in the world when there's no fans in stadiums and there's no signs of fans in stadiums. So you've wrote off 12 months there that you can't do it in. It's just not right. It just wouldn't have been a thing. They were worried about what the hell was going to happen when fans were going to get in and stuff like that. And just to pick up on something Avi said as well, like, and more to explain my own situation, I am not FSG in, and I'm surprised anybody is, to be honest. I didn't really think there was anyone who was FSG in. Like, I don't really meet people who go, and fair play, Avi, for you. Like, and I'm not having a go at in any
careful,
way.
Chris, he'll threaten you too, bro. He'll threaten you.
Sorry, I have all his information now.
I'm just not FSG out. You know what I mean? It's like, if I've got a problem, I'll be there on the picket line, like when Redmen started 10 years ago, and we were there when Hicks and Gillette 11 years ago, and we were marching down from Georgians to Anfield. If I've got an issue, we covered those things. You know what I mean? If it's a genuine thing that I believe in, I'm going to be there, whether people are going to be there with me or they're not going to be there with me. That's just the way that I think a lot of people are. I'm just not FSG out, but to pigeonhole someone as FSG in, I genuinely haven't ever met anyone who goes, FSG in. I've never met anyone that's ever said it before.
It's this pigeonholing. You're right, Chris. You're bang on. You're absolutely spot on. I'm not going to lie, guys. I get DMs asking me to make a... All right, not those kind, Mo.
Oh, okay.
Right? Not those kind, you know. Don't go there.
CBD. Right.
But, asking for videos on how to take CBD.
I didn't know they found him.
Three drops instead of two.
I'm going to try that tonight. But listen, I don't know. Is this fascination or... I don't know what the term is to sort of pigeonhole people. And I actually got DMs at the end of the window. As soon as the window shut, the window wasn't even shut. It was like sort of when we announced the Phillips extension and the Hendo extension, we knew there's not going to be no last minute jobs. So people were asking me to make a stand. Can you actually tweet FSG out now, please? I was like, what the fuck? Like, what does that mean? So I totally agree what you're saying, guys, in terms of pigeonholing. And Cal, I know you touched upon it. It's the pigeonholing that sort of you don't have to be neither camp. But you can speak about things that you see on face value, right? You can see everything that these guys have said. Everyone's made valid points. And when you listen and talk to real people like this, as opposed to typing away, right, abuse and on either side, it doesn't make any difference to anyone's opinion, like Chris says. But when you have a debate, it's all about learning and learning more. Now, I've learned, listening to you guys, so much. Cal, I wanted to ask you, have you mentioned about in terms of succession planning and is there, can we see a clear as fans? Because that's all we can do. We don't know what the actual plans are. And that's where the confusion for me lies, because if you don't know, stop guessing and working yourself up. Like, we're just working ourselves up for no reason without knowing things. But to the outside world, if Cal, seeing what you're seeing, see what you've seen, what could possibly be the plan from FSG or Edwards and Klopp, etc.? What could we put it down to? And I'm asking you for a reason, because I know you're probably the most angry about the window. But I just want to get your opinion on this.
Yeah, so what I will say, I actually don't think it's a, like, I'll be honest, I actually don't know what their plan is, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I'll be honest with
exactly.
you. Exactly. One thing I do love about FSG is the fact that nothing gets leaked anymore. That's one thing I do love about them. Nothing, like, Fabrizio was tweeting all summer, didn't have a clue what was going on. James Pearce, Neil Jones, they are brilliant journalists. But unfortunately, because of leaks with Van Dijk and stuff, all these journalists, they have been shut out. That doesn't make them rubbish journalists. They are writing articles because they are using their judgment and common sense as to guess what is going to happen. That is not their fault. I am very happy our dirty laundry isn't being aired outside. That is like me going out and saying, look, guys, everyone, this is my plan for what me and my wife aim to do with our house next year. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get robbed. I don't want people knowing our business. It's the same thing with Liverpool Football Club. Keep your stuff in-house. I don't need to know the plans. What I will say is, though, I was never FSG out because of this window. I've been FSG out mainly because of the Super League. And that, for me, is a different discussion. I think this window has just kind of been used as an excuse to gaslight for FSG out. But I've be honest, I've been quite vocal about it. I've not been FSG's biggest fan for a couple of years now. But for me, it feels as though they're making a devastating mistake at least once a season at the moment, which is frustrating me because it seems like the mistakes are escalating. In terms of us moving forward, I see it from both sides. But what scares me is that I have to look at it from another side. So while I agree that tying down our players on long-term contracts is good, let's also not forget that we tied down Coutinho, Suarez to long-term contracts, and they still were sold. So Nat Phillips, for me, in my opinion, was given a longer-term contract to protect his value. Now, again, I don't mind that because I know we're going to have to sell him because he doesn't want to stay and be a fifth choice. So we want to try and maximise and get as much money as possible. But the issue for me then becomes, well, when you can't sell the likes of Shaqiri, Origi for good money, how do we then reinvest a 9.5 million back into our transfer kitty and improve upon that position when we don't have that money? Another thing that sort of worries me is the disconnect between the owners and the fans, with all due respect to them. And look, one thing I want to clear up as well, this whole notion that all American owners are rubbish, or like, that's got to stop as well. Let's not do the stereotype thing. Like, that's ridiculous. That's got to stop now. Let's just take these guys at their face value. What worries me is that they've been in charge of Liverpool for 11 years, and I genuinely don't feel as though they understand us as a fan base and they understand who we are as a club. We are very different to most other clubs. It's what makes us so special. It's what makes us so elite. And because of that, I feel as though they do things that just builds even more of a disconnect between us as fans and them as owners.
But Cal, just to come on that, Cal, yeah, just a quick one for this. So I want to come in on this. Do you think that's because they haven't had the right people around them? Like, we had Peter Moores, who came from EA, and he was a man from Liverpool originally, if I'm not mistaken. And he comes in and Liverpool decided to go ahead with this furlough, okay, which goes everything, all the grain against the club, right? So they release a statement saying, we're going to put some of the staff and whatnot on furlough. And then they reattract a day later, Peter Moores. Do you not think that they should have discussed this? Is this a decision that they just went out without consultation with Peter Moores or the club, or the, you know, around the team around them? Do you think they just went ahead and just released this on their own back? Do you think they've had the right people around them to give them advice saying, listen, this is not the way we do things at Liverpool Football Club? Is this why SOS, I believe, have got Chris, you might know, but have they brought a board member onto the sort of panel, have they, where they discuss during their meetings, or not, they've got a board member from the SOS, is that right?
Yeah, this I've got a feeling it's still being talked about that, but the idea was to have
someone
it.
In.
I've not received an email from Spirit of Shankly in a while thinking about it. Like you were saying it then, I was thinking, oh, where did that get up to? This is what happens in football though, isn't it? Like, Mo, do you know?
No, although you might want to look into your membership, you might have run out. That's why they're doing
it. No, I think what happened with SOS was they obviously called on the club for certain things, what they wanted. They had meetings with the club over a 2 or 3 week period. It might have been 3 meetings, and then they went back and had a vote as to whether they would engage with the club on these plans, because obviously they're a democracy and they have to vote. The vote was passed unanimously, and I think they're working on now what way the setup will be. I think their hope is that they will have not somebody on the board, but a representative within meetings. You know, I don't think they'll have a vote, but they will have a voice, you know, the sort of way, and they're looking to set up, you know, I suppose different fan groups or wherever it might be to have a voice, and that's where I think SOS have gone with it.
Chris.
Yeah, go for it. Okay. I just wanted to riff on something there, and this is where like you'll see that I'm not FSG in, right? Is that like FSG are venture capitalists. Now they might be some of the nicest venture capitalists that own football clubs, but they're businessmen. They saw a really, really good deal 11 years ago of getting one of the most historic football clubs with the biggest worldwide fan base. And their idea out of this is to make money. And pretty much everybody who comes to Liverpool, give or take, is there for the money. Like, you've got your Trent Alexander-Arnold, you've got your Steven Gerrards, you might have Jurgen Klopp who stays around after the fact, but for the most part, owners, managers, players, 99% of them are there for a really short space of time, and we, the fans, are the ones who are there that endure, and is literally passed down through families and generations. So to coming back on to FSG is, they're only here for the money. They said at the beginning that they want to make the club self-sustaining. Of course they do. Because they don't want to put their hand in their arse pockets and put loads and loads of money in. They don't really have to compete with oligarchs from around the world. They might be billionaires, but they can't compete on the same level. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not possible in the same way. And they're smart people, but it's also not really them. Like, it's Michael Edwards, it's Mike Gordon, like John Henry. Probably doesn't know much about the day-to-day running a Liverpool football club. And he doesn't have to, be fair. It's fucking his. He can do what he wants with it. And it might piss you off as a fan. It pisses me off. I'd really like an owner that's a Liverpool fan that's got billions of pounds, that understands everything. It's probably not going to ever happen in my lifetime, to be honest with you. Like, we had a Liverpool fan. Was it Steve? What was the guy's name? He was a builder. Oh,
Steve Morgan. The building
Morgan, that's it. Yeah.
Didn't have enough money to buy us, did he? Like, you know what I mean? Really wanted it. Didn't have anywhere near enough money. It's proper hard to win Premier Leagues. We've managed to do that under FSG somehow. So they've done things right because they put the right people in place. But to get annoyed by them not putting more money in their arse or pulling more money out of their arse pocket seems mad, considering we've had 11 years of knowing it's not going to happen.
Chris, just to come on that, Mo, just a quick one. We talk about, you made a great point, Kevin. It brings me back to the ticket price freeze when they went to raise the tickets. Now, Chris, I'm from the US, right? And I know fellow Americans who try to go out to Liverpool from different official supporters group, and they can't get the ticket the legitimate way through the website. Okay, so what they do is, and fans, I know some fans that do this, and it's for the wrong reasons. Liverpool fans who go in the regular Anfield are putting their prices up on Ticketmaster for, say, £300-£400. Is that not the same thing then? Are not local, and I'm not saying it's all locals. First of all, let's get that out of the way. But Liverpool fans who go on the regular, are they not putting their tickets on like Ticketmaster for like £300-£400? Is that fair as well then?
No, it's not fair, but two wrongs don't make a right, though.
It doesn't make a right. So, okay, but we absolutely ridicule or we absolutely attack FSG for doing something that some of our fan base do on the regular, putting hospitality tickets for like £400-£500 when the face value of it is like £200. Like, where's the balance in that?
They're our owners. They should know better, surely.
Yeah. What I will say is that you can't be talking about practices to try and combat that if you're also doing it yourself. So you can say, yes, the fans who do similar things, they're a club. They're meant to be above all that. what I would say off the back of what Chris was saying, which is dead on and is really worth remembering, and a little bit of what Carol was saying as well about them understanding us as a fan base. I think Tahir said it in one of the chats as well. They've had 11 years to understand us as a fan base. We are different to other clubs. We are different, but we are not that complex, really. Like, we are consistent in how we feel about certain things. So, if you really cared and you were really paying attention, you'd be able to understand us by now. So, what does that tell you? They don't really care. That's... What they want to do is to basically keep us sweet enough that we don't tear the place down. So, when they mess up, they apologize, they backtrack, they're really good at apologies. But it's not going to stop them doing it again because they are going to keep trying to push that boundary to what they can get away with and find out. And we need to keep reminding them where the line is. And it's going to be back and forth and back and forth forever. And to be honest, I really don't see many owners of who are rich enough to be able to fund an elite club who that won't be the case with. I think every owner, that's how it should work, because their parameters and their priorities are always going to be different to ours. Because like Chris says, we are always going to be there. They are not. They are not thinking about it in the same way as we do. But we have common ground. We have the same aims ultimately on the pitch. So in order to coexist, we need to remind each other where the line is. So this kind of headbutting about what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing, as long as it doesn't lose sight of the big picture, can be a healthy thing, I think.
I think Mo's spot on, like, you know, constantly reminding your owners as to not carrying on like spoiled brats or anything like that. Just, you know, like, this is what we expect, this is a level we expect, this is who we are, and that's absolutely fine. And you're right, you know, they came in 11 years ago, and one of the first lines was under promise, overachieve, I think was one of the first lines they ever come out with. And
absolutely, yeah.
And they've absolutely met that.
To be fair to them.
They've absolutely met that. Like, they've under promised and they've overachieved. They've absolutely nailed that. But like, there is a line. Mo's right. There is absolutely 100% a line where you talk about tickets and furlough and all that sort of stuff. And at the same time, we have to take it a bit as well, you know. And I'm not—I've said it at the start. I watch Liverpool play football. You know, I watch it as a fan. If they do good stuff, I don't really react. I said this the other night when Liverpool won a league title and a European Cup. I didn't sit there going, "Isn't it wearing FSG great?" No, we fucking didn't. I was drinking and I didn't give a shit about the owners. I was, you know, I was telling my wife we were having a tour child and I was calling the D-box. You know what I mean? It was, so I didn't give two fucks about them. So, but when they do bad things, you've every right to turn around like and say, "Hold on, you know, this isn't right," and they need to be told it's not right. But at the same time, we have to give a little bit back as well. And we have to say to them, right, hold on, this transfers, for argument's sake, right? We spent 36 million on the centre back. We probably brought in somewhere in the region the same, I think, in players coming back in. And we have to look and go and just say to ourselves, right, how fucking bad is it? How bad is it that how much have we lost? And you have to remember how much we've lost against the model. Because I do hear people saying, we're not the only club affected. No, we're not. But we're one of the only clubs not leveraging debt in order to fund the transfer window. And that's the truth. You know, Spurs, as soon as the COVID started, were on the phone to the Bank of England, going, can I have 170 million quid, please? Because all the stuff we have planned for the stadium will not go ahead now. And we're going to suffer badly for it. You know, I don't know what, I think Arsenal did take out a loan. United run up debt. That's just what United do.
Well, and
that's
United not, took 60 million off a bank last year. And this year, they haven't released the accounts yet for the previous year. And they still had 140 million, I think it was, to take out. So they might have even gone down that route, which they've got the money to be able to recoup that gap, haven't they, to be fair?
Yeah.
Probably it's water off a duck's back for them.
It is, because they're a different model to ours. And when we discuss transfers, I always said it, and I've said it for years, when we discuss transfers, there's no point in discussing Manchester United, Man City, Chelsea, PSG. There's no point in sitting yourself beside them and trying to compare, because, you know, it'd be like me comparing myself as a basketball player to Michael Jordan. Like, fucking, I'm 5'4" for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? So, for me, I'm not saying don't be upset. I'm not saying don't have a go. I'm not saying if you don't like them, absolutely fine. But sometimes, for me in particular, I look and go, 180 million is a lot of fucking money over 2 years to lose. Especially when you look at the finances and the wages and whatever else it might be. And I'm not excusing them completely because of it, but I'm saying that might be a reason. It just might be.
Can I ask three questions, guy? And again, look, feel free to I know I'm taking liberties. I am sorry. I'll be really quick though. But and look, guys, feel free to shut this down if you think this is stupid where my mind's going here. First question is, Redbird acquired 10% of FSG, not Liverpool, not Red Sox, mm-hmm. FSG, which will allow them to operate in the same way. So I get what you're saying in terms of the loss they made, but effectively they made that money back as an organization. So they're good in that aspect. So in terms of the money lost, yes, I get it, but they're good now. Look, I'm not expecting them to put money in their, take money out of their pocket every summer. And I think that's where the disconnect is with some FSG out and another FSG out. I don't want an owner who just literally throws money every single summer. But I always use this analogy. I don't want to do any house repairs at the moment. But if my roof starts leaking, I'm going to have to put my hand in my pocket to fix it, whether I want to or not. And then I'm going to have to find a way to pay that back. So for me, that's where I think we're a bit too rigid in our model. We need to be a bit more fluid. Secondly, should we not hold owners to the same standard as players almost? So the example I'm going to use is Luis Suarez. And this might not resonate with everyone like it does with me. As a footballer, I thought Luis Suarez was absolutely phenomenal. But as a person, I thought he was a bit of a scumbag. Now, Luis Suarez did some amazing stuff on a football pitch. But because of the bad stuff he did, I would never want him to wear a Liverpool shirt again. So even though FSG have done some great stuff, some of the things they've done have been so against the ethos of the club that for me, I don't really want them around anymore. Because for me, they've tarnished that relationship so much that for me, enough's enough. But that just might be me. And then thirdly, I get what you're saying about the training complex, the stands. And again, I don't have a problem with this before I say it. But those things were paid for by AXA, if I'm not mistaken, for the training ground. And secondly, for the stand.
They only contributed 10 million to that.
Let him finish.
Sorry.
No, if I'm wrong, no, that's spot. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So apologies on that. But the stand, for example, or the two stands, if I'm not mistaken, will be paid for by the club because FSG have loaned us the money and we're paying it back to them. So if that's the case, and Leicester City, for example, who have just built a £100 million complex but still made transfers this summer, that's where I'm struggling. Because again, like Gav, I completely agree with you. I can't sit here and complain and compare us to Chelsea, City, PSG, Man United, because their money's just on a different level. But when I'm seeing teams like Aston Villa, Leicester City, being able to go out and sort the issues they've got, then I have an issue. Then I have some concerns, because if we were sitting here with a very complete squad, I wouldn't need to have this situation right now. I'd be cool, because I don't want us to just buy players for the sake of stockpiling. But when you're looking at the bench and you see Origi, who can't even get a game when Bobby Firmino and Mane are in the worst form of their life, Taki Minamino's trusted so much that he sent out on loan in January, Ben Davies is brought in and we're convinced that he's going to be the next Robertson project. And we all knew it wasn't. When Kabak's brought in as a 20-year-old who's in a sinking ship at Schalke to try and save our season, that's when I get concerned. And I don't know how they bring it back.
One thing I would add, like, I don't disagree with any of that. What I would say specifically about Villa and Leicester, Villa paid for theirs from Grealish. Like, yeah, they knew that was happening long before it happened.
Very that's true. Very true.
I stand corrected. With Leicester, I think 50 million pounds they spent on five players, five very good players. Like, I'm really jealous of their window. I'm not going to lie. I think they nailed it. But this is the first year in five they haven't had to sell a big player. So the business they've done all up to this point, they have been making profits. So now they allowed them the space to go out and go bang. So looking at their model, I assume that's what their answer would be. But that does not necessarily mean that we shouldn't be doing the same. I think when I take your roof analogy, which I really like, by the way,
But don't tell your neighbours about your roof because you said they'd rob it.
Oh, mine's fine. We're all good. Don't worry.
No, but Callum said his neighbours rob all his stuff. He said it earlier. Yes, you did.
Is this why you've got the curtain up now?
So yeah. doesn't want his neighbours to know he has a chair.
Oh, man, times are rough. But no, what I was going to say is, like, we look at the roof and we see the holes and we think, that's going to leak when it rains. Like, they're looking at the roof going, see, it might leak when it rains, but it might not rain. We might be all right. We might be okay with the rain this summer. And that's the problem. We think, okay, no, I'm not taking a risk. Let's just bang it up in case it does rain. And they're like, yeah, but that's money and hassle. And we might be better off and we might live better because then we haven't got to deal with the builders coming in while we're trying to sleep and blah, 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 blah. So that no one is necessarily right or wrong. We're just going to have to wait and see if it rains.
Go on, Avi.
Just to come on this, and look, Cal makes some great points. I don't think we've maximized Klopp's clout. And with 3 years to go, that could come back bite us in the backside. We haven't maximized his clout of, look, he might not want a Sancho or an Mbappe, but give him a 30 to 40 million pound player, he'll make him into a world-class player. Yeah, a top player, he elevates them. He takes them to the next level. Now,
sorry, really quickly on that, Avi. We say he doesn't, but he spent big money on Virgil and big money on Alisson when he had the money.
But Virgil was on the cusp of becoming great. He wasn't a great when he came from Southampton.
I think he was. I think Virgil was great. It's just because he played for Southampton, people don't.
No, Callum, I disagree. He has not. Callum, if you go through Jurgen Klopp's career, like even at Dortmund, I think you'd struggle. Him as a coach, buying a player that's ready made for him. I genuinely think, I was thinking that the other day.
Dortmund are in a different situation.
No. Okay,
the model is the same. He brought the Gundogans from Nuremberg, the Kagawas from Japan, the Lewandowskis for like 300,000 or 1.5 million.
Avi, Cal's absolutely spot on. Dortmund is a total different league. He's now in the big boys league. But even at Liverpool, Cal.
But he succeeded with that model. Hasn't.
Say again?
He succeeded with that model, though. It's a very similar model where you buy young talent, and not even young talent, but you buy talent, like he's done with Salah, Mane, and Bobby. You know, players
who are
on the cusp of maybe going on to that next level, and he's made him go to the next level. Now, just on this, and I just want to cast our mind back. Peter Moores and Rick Parry, right? They wanted new owners in because they wanted someone to fund the new stadium at Stanley Park.
David Moore, sorry.
My apologies. And then obviously Hicks and Gillette come in. Gillette came in first. He was told he doesn't have enough equity. He brings his mate from Texas, right?
He didn't
from
have Dallas. Brains either.
From Tom Hicks, okay?
He didn't have anything.
Tom Hicks's first press conference
this was after trying to do a deal with DIC.
Where they were buying steel. And they didn't meet the due diligence that David Moores was happy with. In come the Americans, right? The first batch. And Tom Hicks's first words were, we're going to put a spade within 60 days or 50 days into Stanley Park. That was true. And he also sent us a image. He also had a dummy.
They were deadly pictures.
They were brilliant. It was a state of the art because he built the Dallas Cowboys stadium as well.
I show my staff and plans like that as well.
This is where for your burger shop, yeah? So yeah. These are where we need to appreciate FSG, but these are the things that fans don't care about.
Are we comparing them to the worst owners?
No. But Cal, they're the best owners since my lifetime.
No, the how best many owners did we had?
No. What I'm trying to reiterate is we've got to appreciate what they've done too at the club.
No, we do. But
they did things that were impossible. They put planning applications because they thought, no, you know what? We are going to regrow Anfield. We are going to put more seats in the stand, just like we did at Fenway. They did the impossible. They made it possible, if you get what I mean. They made the impossible possible where everyone thought.
Why was it possible?
Because applications were getting refused. Because Tom Hicks and Gillette said, this is not viable. We cannot increase Anfield.
But just because Tom Hicks and Gillette got applications.
David Moores and Rick Parry. It was the same story with Rick Parry.
Yeah, but I'd say Tom Hicks and you're like...
I could have got applications approved.
No, I'd say the application consisted of, right, a big picture of Stanley Park and then a smaller picture of the drawing of the stadium. and he just blue tacked it to a thing, took a picture of it and went and sent it to the council and went, what do you reckon, lads? That was the height of the fucking thing. Because they were absolute imbeciles then too. Like, they were unbelievable. But Callum, you mentioned them, and I'm trying to keep the mood light here because you're like, oh, I'm very fucking serious. I'm doubting how good you would be over a point now at this stage.
But
Callum, you talk about, you know, and Chris mentioned earlier, the upgrade to the stadium, the main stand, which is just phenomenal looking. Every time I see it, how many times have I seen it, but it's still unbelievable. The Anfield Road end, of course, is under construction now as well. And you say, and people do say, but that was Liverpool's money. Yeah, it was Liverpool's money that was generated, okay?
Or
FSG have given a loan to the club to fast track this, and the club will pay it back. There's no owner out there that comes along and says, I'll build the stadium for you. It just doesn't happen.
The only reason I've raised that is because a lot of people will say, well, FSG built the stand, or FSG saved the club. FSG has a profit in the future, which I don't have a problem
with. FSG as an entity worked on deals that were probably 20 years too late when you look at what Liverpool done for me in the early to mid 90s, where they stood still and watched everyone around them. But they worked as an entity to build up these sponsorship deals, these, you know, whatever it might be, to enable to say and be comfortable to say, we won't go and get loans, we'll put the money in, and the club itself is running so well it will give it back. And that's usually what happens. You know, the Glazers didn't turn up at Old Trafford and go, there's not enough seats in here, here's loads of money and build yourself a stadium. It doesn't happen like that. Clubs build stadiums and invest in stadiums or you know, move or whatever it might be, because they're self-sustainable and they know, first of all, they're steady. They know they can pay it back, and they know how well it'll do for you. You know, this will earn you more, that'll earn you more. It's simple business. But there's nobody out there that'll turn around like I'll put it to you this way. You're not going to get an owner that comes in after FSG and go, listen, I will put a spade in Stanley Park in 60 days. I'm building a 200,000-seater, and you keep all your money as a club because I'll pay this for you. It doesn't happen. It does not happen.
I completely agree. But I don't have an issue with that. My issue is the narrative that's told.
It's only a narrative. Sorry, Callum, it's only a narrative because people giving out about it, making a narrative. I'll never turn around and say FSG. Like Chris said earlier, I don't go around shouting FSG in. Nobody does. You know, the sort of way. And I doubt many people go around shouting FSG out, to be perfectly honest with you. May do, I don't know. But it's only a narrative because you want to make an argument out of it. There's no argument around it, and there's no need to argue around it. It's actually just normal. What they do.
I think the argument isn't, Gav. I think the people shouting FSG out, and there is a small minority, I still think it's a small minority. It's totally based around what they perceive as lack of investment on the pitch, on the team, on the players.
For some, and I think it's not that for me. I want to
not,
be really
not for you. No, no, not for you. You've explained yourself. No, no, no. You've explained your reasons, and absolutely. I'm now playing devil's advocate for the ones that don't see it like you. So, but again, it's perception, and it's in their own minds, or it's in our own minds, because of the fact we don't know. So we've just spent the best part of an hour saying we don't know what their plans are. We don't
waste,
know
waste
what Jurgen
Klopp this was.
Yeah, it was a fucking waste of time. Bunch of wankers.
He's
really
still trying to come to his fucking CBD.
He's doing tongue exercises here for later on, I'd say.
You know what I mean? So it's all based around we don't know. And some people are fearful of the unknown. And some people are excited about the unknown. Like Chris started off saying he's excited to watch us play football this season. I was. When I saw Virgil van Dijk training again and a refreshed Jurgen Klopp and everything, and I thought, yes, I just can't wait to go to games and watch them play again. But obviously, there is a window of opportunities called the transfer window where you think that it's a time and a place for a club to sort of bring in fresh blood that can sort of regenerate. And I think that's equally... You know, it's equally fair to have, for them to have that opinion. But to sort of base that from there to sort of having extremes, I think that's where the disconnect comes from. Look, we can speak about these things all night. I wanted to very quickly touch upon the news again from, it seems, Mr. Liverpool correspondent David Ornstein, who suggested, or he wrote an article, Mo, about Michael Edwards possibly leaving. Is it the end of next season?
Summer. Next summer is his last summer.
Next summer,
the
yeah.
End of this season.
Yeah. It's the end of this season.
Yeah.
Mo, just going to go around everyone's thoughts on the job he's done and how you react to the news.
Well, the simple fact is, he's whatever we know, he's clearly been good at his job. Lots of people have been telling us he's been good at his job. The evidence in front of us tells us he's been good at his job. So when someone who's good at his job is leaving or potentially leaving, that's bad. But what I do think, for someone who has completely shied away from the spotlight, none of us even know what his voice sounds like. He's got a lot of people have got his picture on their bedroom wall, it feels like. And we don't really know what he does. Like, I mean, I don't want to try, I'm not trying to discredit him. He's got, like I said, he's clearly good at his job. But unless we know exactly which parts he's doing and which parts would therefore need to be replaced, we don't know how bad this is or this isn't. I think if it's a scenario where he walks out the door and walks into another job in football, that's a bad thing. Because what that means,
leave.
Yeah, because what that means is that we weren't able to offer him what he wanted, and therefore he's going to go and get it somewhere else. I think from listening to what people have said, people who do know what his voice sounds like, it does appear that it's as much about him being there for 10 years and wanting to do something else. And if that's the case, if he ends up changing career path completely, then I say thanks and good luck. I've got no problem with it. I think, though, it sounds like as well that this is something that the club have been aware of for longer than us. So from that perspective, there should be a succession plan.
I think that's why Julian Ward was brought in early or late last year. He was brought in as a, you know, natural successor once Michael Edwards was going to leave.
And he's been there since 2012 as well.
Yeah.
We don't know
if, you know, Michael Edwards is more charming than Julian Ward. We don't know. I'm guessing we're going to have to find out when he gets his chance of doing the job. But I think it's one of those things whereby we have to kind of take it under consideration and say that, yeah, it might be an issue, but it might not. One thing that Neil Atkinson mentioned on one of our shows, and I'm sure he won't mind me repeating because he likes it when people think he's clever. both Michael Edwards and Klopp are the kind of people who will care about the succession plan. They will care that the job that they've done is so good that when they leave, the ship is still standing. It's not like a Sir Alex Ferguson scenario where if they do terribly after he's gone, everyone's falling for him to come back and he loves it. I think he feels that part of his job is to leave it in good hands. So I'm confident that will be taking place should he be about to leave. But yeah, bringing it all back to the beginning, you don't really want to see him leave.
Chris, your thoughts on Michael Edwards? And
yeah, I think, you know, what I know he does is he's a good negotiator. I think is one of the things that I know that he is. I'm a bit sort of, no, I wouldn't say ambivalent is probably too strong a term for it, but for me, he's the tip of an iceberg. Like, you know what I mean? And there is probably 200 to 300 people working underneath him that he gets the credit for all the time. And look, that's his team. He runs that team and you do deserve credit for that. But we're not having 200 people leave here. We're not having the rocket scientists and the developmental coaches. They're not all leaving, and the analytics and everything else. It's one man at the top. And I've seen enough sport in, you know, over the years to know that one man can make a huge difference to a team. But I've got faith that Liverpool have got the right people in the right places, such that when he leaves, and just what Mo was saying as well, to echo that, we will be okay. And I'm a bit pissed off that he didn't sign himself up to a new contract because he shit at his job.
Cal?
the Edwards thing, I think Edwards has been brilliant for us. I'm going to split opinion. I do think he did mess up a little bit last summer, but on the whole, his tenure has been amazing. I'm not concerned about him leaving in the sense of I don't know why he's leaving yet. And I'll be honest, in the same way Thiago left the perfectly fine Bayern Munich because he wanted a new challenge, he might just want a new challenge. So for me, that wouldn't be an issue. If he's leaving because there are things wrong behind the scene, then I'm concerned. But we don't have any evidence of that yet. So as things stand, I'm pretty relaxed on the situation, as long as we get the right person in next.
Kevin Doyle.
Yeah, he's done a good job. He's, and like Callum said, if he wants another challenge and he feels it's time to go, you know, he goes. And like Chris said, you know, there's a massive team at Liverpool with regards to everything. And there's only one person I worry about leaving Liverpool Football Club, and it's Jurgen Klopp. I think if any other person within the building leaves, I think there's everything in place to carry on. And you know, we have seen it where, you know, was it at Leicester, the guy Walsh was scouting everything, and he left, went to Everton, and everyone thought it was brilliant, and it was a disaster. But like, we don't know about Michael Edwards. We don't know much about it. I've seen him speak once, I think, and that was in a documentary about the actual building of that AXA training centre. And I think he was in that, and I've never seen him or heard of him since. And look, he might want to leave. They might have come to a mutual agreement. We don't know. And like Mo said, I think it was Mo said it, you'll know when he turns up next. You know, if it's at another football club, you go, aha, hold on, you know, this isn't really a new challenge, Michael. It's the same shape ball and it's the same type of, you know, it's the same league and stuff like that. Whereas if he turns up in the NFL or something like that, you go, well, yeah, that's fair enough. He's gone to America and it's a different sport and stuff like that. So overall, I don't know anything about Michael Edwards, I'm going to be honest. And secondly, I'm confident that a bit like Chris and that if he goes, or where he will go, I think. And when he goes, I think we have the people in place and a bit of forward planning by the sounds of it to cover that. And then we go from there.
Yeah. Avi, last word on Michael Edwards, because I know you've done a bit of homework and I don't want it to go to waste.
No homework. Look, I think he became sporting director in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, and came along with Dave Fallows and Barry Hunt, who came from Manchester City, another coup by us who we literally just sort of snatched away from them. I think he had an offer last summer, if I'm not correct, to come over to the US, Michael Edwards, but he declined it at the time. So I think his next career change will be out here somewhere. Could be in sports, could be in another company. But no, look, I echo everyone's words. He's been good. He's been great for us. But look, we march on with Liverpool Football Club and nothing else matters. And like Gav said, the most important man is still at the helm, which is Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, guys.
We can't end on this, guys. We can't end on this. Look how down everyone is.
Wait, hold on.
I was going to say, like, we have got one of the best teams in world football. Yeah. We have got the best back four out of any team in the Premier League still. We've got the best goalkeeper in the league. We've got the best six in the league. We've got the best striker in the league. We've got Sadio Mane and all this stuff. And we think we've had a bad window. And fair play, that's your opinion. But we've got one of the best sides in world football. We were going to play brilliant. We came third with fucking shit last year. Third. Like, genuinely, we somehow came third. Like, with everything going against us. We're winning the league this year, boys. We are winning the league.
I can tell you now, we are. I've said it. I was surprised Chris went down that route, because when he said, like, we can't end like this, I was like, what does Chris like talking about? And I was going to talk about really big hula hoops, because I remember talking about that the last time we're on. Jumping off buildings and stuff like that.
I need a really big hula hoop to get my arse through, to be fair. Like, regular size boat,
man. And jumping off buildings
walk along with a hula hoop that's too small for. That's basically me.
He went down a fairly routine route there. But listen, we leave the hula hoops the next time. It's okay.
No, but it's funny Chris says that we can't leave on a down. Like, I'm actually not on a down, like Laura Duffy says, and we have Grizzers being on two CBD drops. Like, I'm high as a kite, lads.
You ready to have some more, aren't you?
I really am. This is the quietest I've been on any show, Gav will tell you. It's the least I've spoken. I'm absolutely loved it today. Thank you very much, people. It's
can I ask a question before we go, though?
Yeah, go on. You put your hand up.
Hula hoops are on my mind now, and I won't sleep if you don't.
Which flavour?
Barbecue beef.
Barbecue. No, barbecue I wasn't going to ask that. Forget hula hoops. It's off the table, boys. I was just going to ask, and I want to say this right, bourbon creams, biscuits, do you know them?
Yeah.
What's your feeling on them?
Quality.
Never even heard of them.
Never heard of them. Chris?
Bourbon?
Bourbon creams.
They're one of those ones where, like, there's a
what's the difference between a bourbon cream and a normal bourbon?
Is it chocolate flavour, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two, it two like chocolate cream. Biscuits with some black cream.
Party rings, a little bit of chocolate.
Amazing.
Party rings.
Yeah. I've had better biscuits. Like, if you're telling me that they're the top tier, then, you know.
No, I'm not saying the top tier, but I bought them in the shop. I done a big shop today for everyone watching. And I bought them today. And I swear to God, I was in the shop and a woman literally looked me up and down when I picked up bourbon creams. And I thought, well, the world has changed. But I just wanted to ask you people what's going on. Or how you feel about them.
I mean, we are...
I don't know, did you pot next door or something?
In the oil. No, the car wasn't in the oil.
Looking up and down, right?
Yeah. Like, drive through. Literally drive through.
There was no reason. Like,
No, I mean, I wasn't standing there like with my trousers around my ankles or anything like that. Nothing weird like that. It was literally me in a normal situation in an aisle in a shop picking up. I picked up custard creams, bourbon creams, and I think it was there was another
Rich
biscuit. No, it wasn't Rich Tea. It was definitely one of those lads.
Maryland
cream, cream, as you say it. As you said,
you've gone for the cheap. She probably thought you were cheapskate. You've gone for the
I buy them.
I was literally thinking that, Chris. I was literally thinking
they weren't on brand for a start, right? And that's terrible what you've just said there, Chris.
Gav, you know my theory. There's no decent biscuit. It's got to be above 29p. Now, I know that's...
Yes, no, awful. They were well above 29p, but I buy them for my child who's 18 months who flings a lot of food around, you know, so, okay. But he likes biscuits. And I just wanted to see, like, you just had... I got a bit upset, lads. You know, I'm being honest at our attitude, and I should have went back and said something to her, but I didn't. I was going to say
that, like, they've got nothing on a chocolate hobnob, but I think, like, you know,
I'm not giving sure. a 3-year-old
hobnob is asking to end up in the emergency room because literally. No amount of liquid or slobber is going to break down a chocolate hobnob.
No,
which is why they're the best drinkers in the world.
Yeah. Do you remember Brendan Rodgers when he stayed up all night to walk out? He could play three at the back. Remember he was doing it in his kitchen. That's me at night when I'm trying to work out what I can give this child without him ruining the house. That's me. And bourbon creams are the answer.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
What's the big brand in America, Avi?
Oreos.
Like
Oreos.
Oreos.
Is it Chip Ahoy as well?
Yeah, good shout that, Cal. Yeah, Chip Ahoy. But Oreos mainly.
You can't go wrong.
Right now in California, it's Weed cookies. They're the ones. On a Friday night, they just... They take you to another planet, literally.
We did all here, right?
It's good stuff. Yeah.
Lads, I've got to call it a night before Gav starts going through his shopping.
Just one question, Grizz. Sure, didn't have our Callum asked 11 there earlier. He said, wait there and I'll ask 11 questions, he said.
Yeah.
Go on. Oh, I thought you had one more question.
No more.
I was just texting the wife, like, I'll get the CBD oil ready. get it ready, yeah.
Can you count the drops for me, please? Two. Hard
you
for me.
You lot laughed, and I respect you all, but you can carry on laughing, but I'm telling you, it was quite complex the first time. I've got used to it now, I've worked it out. But Cal,
this is ridiculous.
Kels, can you listen for 1 second rather than just laugh and turn your face away so you don't know what I'm saying?
I just don't know how difficult it can be, bro.
So, literally lift your tongue and just count to two.
Count what to two, Gav?
The two fucking drops.
Yeah, but you've got to feel them to count them.
Hold on. Hold on. You got to feel them.
Count to two.
So when you go out in the street and it rains, do you not realise it's raining because you can't feel the drops?
Wait, hold on.
Comes in completely drowned from top to bottom and his wife says, what happened to you?
You're not a very good advertisement for this new company, Grizz. I think it's winding out for you.
If people don't... He's walked through the car wash again, hasn't he?
Having a clue what you're talking about.
When you never get ready to close the show, Gav, all right? Be quiet, you.
If I was you, I'd let Avi do the CBD stuff and you stay away from it because
Absolutely terrible.
I feel like I'm having some good tonight.
No, people, seriously, trying to get back serious, it's absolutely amazing. And you really, really should go and check out EliteMe.com, www.EliteMe.com. Fantastic to have them on board. I'm going to try another one of their products, something that's a bit more easier to talk about. This was a bit awkward and difficult for me. Look, once again,
I hope it's not a cream and your fingers are numb, because then you won't feel
it. Exactly. Lads, it's been amazing. And it's what chats are about. It's been like a chat with differing opinions, different agendas, but perspectives on what the situation is. But above all and end all, we're Liverpool fans. Facts. We want Liverpool to win. We want Jurgen Klopp, you know, to stay forever. We want the Reds to absolutely rip up this league. And we believe we can. We believe our squad is as good as anyone's. But look, I just want to thank you. I think Chris's battery has probably gone on his laptop, because I promised him an hour and it's gone 1.5 hours.
Yeah, his battery has gone. He's just sent us a message.
Exactly. But everyone else, Cal, Mo, we will 100% catch up soon.
Thank you very much, guys. Smash the like button as well, people, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bloody great channel. Let's smash the like button. Let's get these numbers up.
It was great until we let Grizz fucking call it a sponsor. Now it's a fucking disaster.
Avi and Gav, we'll catch up real soon. It's been good.
Just a reminder, Grizz. Just a reminder. Tomorrow, Sports Unplugged, we'll be talking about Liverpool's very own Paddy Pimblett, who will be fighting in the UFC main card on Saturday. So make sure we all give him the energy that he deserves for Saturday.
Absolutely.
Good luck to the reggae boys, buddy. Cal. We'll catch up on WhatsApp in a bit. Mo, always a pleasure. And Gav, well, Gav's the boss man. So yeah. Thanks,
guys. I'm not taking responsibility for this shit.
Promo.
Cal, I need to get a link for the stream for the Mexico game.
I saw. Obviously, I saw out the legal link for you.
The illegal link. Can you do him the illegal?
You're trying
stream?
To get me nicked, bro. Like.
Oh no, the legality was never in question.
He had got the link, but his neighbors robbed it off him.
For anybody who wants a legal stream, go on, Cal.
Yeah. I'll sort out the legal link for you, bro.
Well, listen. It's been a brilliant show, and thanks to Chris and Callum and Mo for coming on. All I want to know is Mo still DJing in Motel? That's all I want to know. Lovely, bro. Well, I'll be there in October's my first day. Brighton at home is my first game I'm going over to this season. Plenty more Friday night. Yeah. Are you not doing Saturday nights?
Nah, man, I'm a busy man these days. I've got.
Would senior not throw you a few extra quid to do Saturdays now?
He can't afford me.
I love it.
You sound like FSG there. But listen, guys, we got to wrap this up. It's been amazing. It's been brilliant. Thank you for all. Hope to catch you next week. We'll have something, even though it's midweek. No. The season starts next week, right? Carries on.
No, the season started a couple of weeks ago. Chris.
You know what I mean. But on that
note, play Leeds next Saturday week.
This has been Carnage. Thank you very much for tuning in. Catch you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.